Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves, because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in the white of snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, nada da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And welcome to Therapy Thursday right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. You know the drill. It's Thursday. It's Therapy Thursday. So, you don't worry. We'll do what we always do. We'll get into the little therapy, you know, for the celebrities. It's a Celebrity Thursday thing. We'll get into that later. In this day's edition of Therapy Thursday, we got Omarosa and Michael Clark Duncan and Kim Kardashian. They're all involved in the same single event. How the hell did I mesh? I'm telling you, you think I'm kidding. Omarosa from The Apprentice, Michael Clark Duncan, Green Mile.
Can you keep the lights on?
Yeah. Michael Clark Duncan and Kim Kardashian all meshed in one story, and we've got audio. But we'll get into that later. I got a phone call from someone I tried to talk to a week ago, and they finally gave me a call back today. I'm actually glad they did it because it was something that I wanted to address a week ago. And it's a movement that I've been following for since its inception back in November of last year. Not that I have to say that I was correct in saying that the movement wouldn't last, but the movement has lost a lot of its steam as far as press coverage is concerned. And we're, of course, talking about the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement is everywhere. According to the website, which I will be directing you to, that is the UnitedOccupyMovement.org, they have got a movement that is spread everywhere. It's in Ashland, Atlanta, Austin, Boston, Buffalo, Charlottesville, Chicago, Cincinnati, Dallas, Denver, Eugene, Houston, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Nashville, Oakland, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Portland, Providence, Sacramento, Rochester. Hey, I even saw one in Mystic, Connecticut. That one was small, but I saw one. And they're all over the place. So joining us on the show today is somebody who's going to give us some insight on what Occupy DC is doing. Right here, that's right.
Yeah.
Where we are, Reese on the Radio, in DC, what Occupy DC is up to. And how, I got to ask them the tough questions, because you know we will hear on Reese on the Radio. I got to ask them, how in the hell are they involved in the Trayvon Martin? To answer those questions for us is a man by the name of Hassan Shabazz. Hassan Shabazz is one of the activists involved with the Occupy DC movement. And so we welcome Hassan Shabazz to the show. Welcome to the show, Hassan.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Okay, let's talk about Occupy DC and the Occupy movement.
Right.
I've followed you guys since November. I've got video. They hated me down there because I'm a conservative. When they found out I was a conservative Negro, they did everything but lynch me. Because
okay.
they thought that because I was black, I'm supposed to be a Democrat and follow the Occupy line.
Right.
I guess the Occupy movement does not believe in free thinkers, but that's on them. Let's go.
Not at all. Not in my case, brother. I believe and the First Amendment, brother, the freedom of expression, freedom of speech.
Well, you believe in parts of the Constitution, Mr. Shabazz, and that's a fact with the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement only believes in parts of the Constitution because most people in the Occupy movement believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing thing that can be changed because of the times we live in. Am I fair to say that?
I believe that the Occupy movement has upheld the highest standards of the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. Nationwide, we have, not even within a year now, spread all around the country as an internationally recognized movement. Here in Washington, D.C., I'm affiliated with Occupy D.C. at McPherson Square, and recently, even more than recently, from the beginning, Freedom Plaza at McPherson Square. So, me, myself, I've made T-shirts. I would like to give you a T-shirt, reserve a T-shirt for you, brother,
sure.
To show you my appreciation, and I accept all views and opinions. I mean,
I appreciate your independence in believing that everybody believes in their views and opinions, but I'm asking, as far as the Occupy movement is concerned, and this is what I've understood by going down there and meeting with them. I'm not like other guys who are armchair quarterbacks. I didn't sit back and watch the Occupy movement do what it does and then make my, assert my opinion from the background. I actually got down there, stood there for hours on two separate occasions. I spent 7 hours with the Occupy Wall Street movement in Wall Street, downtown in Zuccotti Park, on two occasions in November. I stood down there with the Occupy movement, 7 hours on each time. So I didn't go down there, just get my sound bites and leave. I sat there and talked with them. And what I've heard from them is when you don't agree with their movement, they want to shut you down. We've also seen that in other movements across the country. If you don't agree with what Occupy wants, they want you hushed. They want you shut down. They want their own freedom of expression, their own freedom of speech. But if you don't toe their line or if you want to question them about it, that they immediately shut you down. And it was definitely expressed by another, a warrior like Andrew Breitbart, who went down there, who you guys cannot, and you can't lie. You guys down in Occupy Wall Street, Occupy DC movement.
You mentioned Breitbart. It's ironic. I mean, you mentioned Breitbart, he was portrayed on RT. He was reviewed. I know he's a conservative talk show host like you, but the whole point of the matter is that he died of natural causes at such a young age. And so, I mean, he's not here no more. I'm not going to talk about the man why he's not here, but, but the point of the matter is that here in Washington, D.C., Occupy D.C., we have upheld the highest standards of freedom of speech. We don't try to shut. As long as I believe it's tasteful, a person is not outright personally confronting me in a hostile manner, I've always upheld the highest standards of the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. And as long as we're having a tasteful conversation, I can have an intellectual conversation with anybody. I don't have a whole lot of education, but I'm self-taught for the most part. I'm employed. I try to portray high standards in dealing with people in a respectful, intelligent manner, especially.
Okay, really appreciate that. If you're just joining us on the show, with us is Hassan Shabazz. He's one of the activists in the Occupy DC movement. Let me ask you some questions, and I'm not going to ask you to answer them directly because I'm not pinning this on you personally because we appreciate you coming on and answering some of the tough questions. I got to ask you, most of the stuff that we've heard, like in the beginning, liberal media, MSNBC, CNN, these guys stood behind you strongly. Media Matters, a lot. George Soros was funding a lot of the groups, especially in New York, making sure you guys got food, make sure you got tents, make sure you guys were well-funded. My question is what is the Occupy movement doing about the things that have been negative to your cause? And I'm talking about the rapes that have happened in the Occupy movement. There have been a large number of those.
What? What, no, what no, in D.C.?
No. We're talking. I don't want you, Mr. Shabazz. I don't want you to take my questions.
Okay, I live in D.C.
But
I live in D.C.
There have been assaults in the D.C. area. There have been. There have been assaults across.
There's never been any assaults, and I've been occupied from like its second week, and there's never been any assaults at Occupy D.C., McPherson Square, Freedom Plaza, Washington, D.C. Either on K Street, where McPherson Square is, or Pennsylvania Avenue, where Freedom Plaza is. There's never been any rape, succession, or sexual assaults.
Okay. Has there been any assaults?
Absolutely not.
So there have been no assaults in D.C.?
Absolutely not. There's been no assaults. I've never assaulted anybody. I've always upheld.
Mr. Shabazz, don't. I don't want you to take my words in the wrong way. I don't need you to defend yourself. I'm sure I have you on the show because I know that you contain yourself. You, even though you're outspoken, I've never seen you do anything to be remotely disrespectful, except for the little comment that you made with the gentleman at MRC TV. That's separate. I don't want to talk about.
Okay, well, that was Emancipation Day.
I understand. Okay. No, let's not discuss it unless you want to talk about that, because then we get into this whole Semitic thing, and I don't want to approach you about that.
Okay, we can talk about Jews. We can talk about Israel. We can talk about U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, Israel. I can talk about any subject.
Okay, I know you can. Then if that's the case, then I'll get into that later. Here's the problem.
All right.
Here's the problem with the Occupy movement. And I know, aside from the whole rat problem that was reported a long time ago, I'm sure you heard about that.
But there's not just rats in the park. There's always been rats in the park. There's always been rats all throughout D.C. D.C. is like New Orleans almost. It's very low. It's swampy. It never forsaken its swamp roots, I might add.
Okay. All right. Now, what is it that Occupy D.C. in particular is trying to get done? Because for me, it just seems like an overstayed Woodstock. You know,
My God. Nah, we are a true social justice movement, and without a doubt, the way it has sprung up, the way people have responded to it nationwide, internationally, I got so much material with the Japanese women's delegation in Okinawa to close the bases, the U.S. bases in Okinawa. I've met with an incredible amount of diverse people, and I've been blessed by it. I've been blessed by it. People all around the country. I met with the sergeant, the Marine sergeant who stood up, the black African American Marine sergeant who stood up to the New York cops. I met him. I got so much material, so much good experiences with the Occupy movement.
I appreciate what this has become for you. This is, again, you're only proving my point that this has become somewhat like a Woodstock. You're meeting new people, you're engaging with one another, and you're sharing ideas and ideology. I get all of that. But what I'm asking is what is Occupy D.C. in particular? What are you trying to accomplish? Other than the fact, I said, I see a bunch of people standing around protesting stuff. But you have to have a mission. And this has been my question since November when I was in Occupy Wall Street in Zuccotti Park. What is your mission?
Okay, we do have a mission. We do have a mission. Ironically, one of our camps, McPherson Square, sits on K Street. K Street is Lobby Row as far as the lobbies and the U.S. House of Representatives who buy our politicians. So K Street is Lobby Row, and I've been out there protesting, having my signs. And one thing that most occupiers that I've spoken to and met, I think is pretty much unanimous by now, is that we should get big money out of politics. Our goal is to get big money out of politics, throw out the lobbyists, take back our government for just the common people. I mean, the government don't belong to just rich people. It belongs to common people, too. So we should get big money out of it so that common people, poor people, will be represented without any of our elected officials being bought out. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I agree with you that lobbying plays a huge role in how the government mismanages our country. I'm well aware of that. And I understand
right.
that most people...
The prison-industrial complex, the military-industrial complex. Dwight D. Eisenhower spoke about that. That's on my website, by the way, www.UnitedOccupyMovement.org. So check it out, y'all. It is, you know, I mean...
Please, we will definitely promote it. We will definitely promote it. Listen to what it is that I'm asking you. When you guys talk about how you want to get big lobbies out of government, first of all, that's never, ever going to happen. Lobbyists...
Yes, it will happen.
Greg, give me a ground rule. I mean, give me the base.
I think most occupiers would also agree we must also set up our own parallel system to get people out of the Federal Reserve System, for example, to have our own currency backed by gold, to abolish the Federal Reserve, that we're definitely going to accomplish these things. We're not even a year old, and we have spread all throughout the United States, and we're internationally recognized by groups from all over the globe. So people are, you know, I protested the Trayvon Martin case. He's on my website.
Don't go too far, because we are going to get to the Trayvon Martin case. I don't want you to go there yet. I don't want you to go to Trayvon Martin case, because that's the second part of our interview, and I want to save this for the beginning.
I want to stick with the
bottom here. The only thing I'm glad. Let me ask you this. I know that you started talking about how it is that you guys have been internationally recognized, and you are. You're everywhere, and this much I see. You are everywhere. People are talking about you. You've obviously made your case of what it is that you want. Now, this is what I have to ask. The only way that Occupy is going to get what it wants, by going after the Federal Reserve, go after lobbyists, to get their government to change the way that they do things, there's only one way that I see it. And that is revolt. And the only way that you can have true revolt, as far as your organization is concerned, is through violence. If you think that you guys are just going to stand around and hold posters and you're going to make people change.
Excuse me. No.
There's never, ever been a revolution without violence. There's no revolution without bloodshed. Malcolm X said that. There is no revolution without bloodshed.
The elites don't own the people. The elites don't own the American people.
So how are you going to get them? They will be held accountable. But I understand that. How are they going to be held accountable? I don't think that there's going to be anything done because you guys have decided to stand out in the street and hold up signs. That's interesting that you say that, because the Tea Party movement started in 2009, and in the next election, they had Tea Party people elected into the House of Representatives and elected as governors and other seats of our legislature. So the Tea Party movement has been able to take their organized movement and get people involved in our government. There would be no Rand Pauls. There would be no Marco Rubio. There would be no Michelle Bachmann. You know, there'd be no Sarah Palin if not for people like the Tea Party movement. You guys have not been able to do any of that by infiltrating the structure that you're trying to, if not condemn, restructure.
Well, let me tell you why. It's because we can't be easily co-opted and absorbed, because we know who our true target is. We know the target is the elites. So we know those banking elites who Obama bailed out, unfortunately, those Wall Street elites, the military industrial complex elites, the war industry elites. We know who they are, and we're going to keep our target on them.
And they're not going to get away. We're going to keep on talking about people like Robert Bales, Sergeant Robert Bales, who massacred 17 Afghan civilians, people like George Zimmerman, who gunned down a young black boy, Trayvon Martin. We're going to definitely keep our eye on them. They're also on my website with targets on their face, Sergeant Robert Bales and George Zimmerman. So when people do stuff like that, we're going to let them know we're going to have an eye on them. And so we're going to have an eye on them, and they're going to be targeted. Simple as that.
Well, I understand that you're going to keep your eye on them. And for those of you, again, who are just joining us, we're on the phone with Hassan Shabazz, who's one of the activists of the Occupy DC movement. And you can check out his website at www.unitedoccupymovement.org. Let me go into what it is you're saying. Look, I've seen this movement. I've followed movements like this. I'm a child of the 60s. I've watched my moms and the heyday of the activist movement, you know, the anti-Vietnam movement, the anti-war movement. I know all of these things. I look at the Occupy movement. You're missing – see, you guys are completely against the structure that is. In doing that, I see a lot of anarchy. I see a lot of anarchy, though. I see a lot of anarchy.
You said it exactly correct. We are against the status elite, a.k.a. the status quo, the powers that be, the hidden hand, whatever you want to call it. We know who they are, definitely, without a doubt. So we're going to definitely keep our eye and targets on them, and we're going to get stronger. We're going to set up our own parallel system eventually. We're already on our way to it with our GAs, our general assemblies, our proposals, the activity, the general activity in the private and public lives of occupiers around the country. So,
what are you going to do? You guys have a parallel way of life for people? I mean, you said you have a parallel way of the current structure. I've never heard one person in Occupy come forward with a way that people should be, or the way that our government or the way that our country should run. I've never heard anybody from Occupy say how we should run our country. It sounds socialist to me. You guys want an even playing field, but how is that supposed to happen?
Good question. It's happening right now. It's happening with our activities, with our GAs, our agreements, our proposals. We're doing it right now. Danny Glover will be speaking tomorrow here in D.C. at the Festival Center on Columbia Road. So I'll be there to address this matter to him. That's tomorrow.
Danny Glover's coming?
Yes,
Danny Glover will be in Washington, D.C. at the Festival Center on Columbia Road Northwest.
Danny Glover's a socialist.
Oh, okay, whatever you want to call him.
But he is. He cares
about poor people. He cares about poor people.
Who doesn't care about poor people?
And poor people care about Danny Glover, so
I understand that people love Danny Glover, but my question is Danny Glover's a socialist. I don't want to sound weird or anything, but Danny Glover, I wouldn't consider him anybody who, I mean, this guy is probably one of the worst socialists there are. Are you saying that Danny Glover supporting the walls of the Occupy DC movement?
Danny Glover is an international superstar.
Who's
played
rich?
In 2012.
Who's rich?
He's an icon of Black America.
But he's an elite. He's a rich elitist.
But he speaks for poor people.
So you're saying if you're rich and you speak for poor people, you get a pass?
Well, you got to do more than... You can't promote the same corruption in banks and Wall Street and government that we see now. Definitely not. And Danny Glover has proven that he does not do that.
Well, how is he proven it? Does he give up 50% of his salary to the poor?
I don't know.
Well, shouldn't you know that? He's going to be speaking at your event.
Okay, well, I'll be there tomorrow. Well, actually, it's not my event. It's
No, when I say your
event.
Well, it's an event that you are a part of. It's an event that you're a part of. But I mean, I've seen people like Sean Penn. I've seen Susan Sarandon. I've seen Tim Robbins, Danny Glover. I've seen even what's his name? Fahrenheit 9/11. Why am I forgetting his name? Michael Moore. I've seen Michael Moore. These people are multi-millionaires. These are Hollywood elitists who are talking about poor people, but they don't give up 50% of what they earn and give it to the poor. So I'm trying to understand why is it that...
Okay. Let's agree on this. Let's agree that some of them do a lot for poor people.
Yeah, it sounds like all they do is talk.
Hey, man.
Well, doesn't it take more than talking? Because
I can't stop somebody from talking, but...
Well, no, I understand it. But as I said in the beginning, that I said the Occupy movement appears to be standing around holding up signs and rallying, but I don't see any action being taken. And having a bunch of Hollywood elites talk at your events to rally people is not making social change. It's just a bunch of people rabble-rousing. I'm not seeing anything that's effectively done, that's substantively done. Nothing is substantive that you guys are doing. You're just talking.
All right.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand. I'm like,
I mean,
what?
Five or six months is not enough time. Five or six months is still too early. 5 or 6 months is not enough time to get a social movement to reach its apex. It's not a long time. It's not enough time.
Mr. Shabazz, as you said, you're all around the country and you're internationally known as a movement. If it's
everybody's not in a hurry. It's more complex than that. Everybody's not in a hurry.
They're not in a hurry.
Why should we have to rush for anybody?
Okay. Well, all right. Fine. I understand that. Let's move on. The Occupy movement is now saying that it's involved with the Trayvon Martin case. In what capacity are you guys involved in this?
Well, we marched down with the Howard students down to the, we had the rally down at Freedom Plaza. We marched all the way from Malcolm X Meridian Park or all the way down to 14th Street, all the way to Freedom Plaza on Pennsylvania Avenue, 14th and Pennsylvania Avenue.
And what exactly is the Occupy movement protesting about the Trayvon Martin case?
Well,
I mean, is there a position, is what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got to plug my phone out.
No, I understand. In essence, what I'm trying to find out is what is the position of the Occupy movement in the Trayvon Martin case?
Well, we believe that Trayvon Martin was savagely gunned down by a half white, half Hispanic man who was racist towards Trayvon Martin and blacks.
Okay. So, and the evidence that George Zimmerman is a racist is what, Mr. Shabazz?
He profiled. Little Trayvon, like he was a criminal or something, just because he was wearing a hoodie and he was a young black male.
Okay, so if I may ask, Mr. Shabazz, and I'll ask you a series of questions and you can answer them.
Absolutely.
From what we know in the George Zimmerman case, George Zimmerman lived in the community that he shot Trayvon. Is that a fact?
Yes, that's a fact. He works okay. There at least. We know he works there.
Well, he lives. He lives in the community that Trayvon was shot in. George Zimmerman
okay.
was.
Well, that's
okay,
that's one.
Two, it is true that there had been robberies in that gated community. Is that a fact?
Why do you interrogate me like that? The fact of the matter.
No. It's not an interrogation, Mr. Shabazz. It's a question based on your...
Trayvon was murdered and second-degree murder. I believe George Zimmerman has been arrested for that.
Yes, he has been arrested for that, but I'm asking you a series of questions based on your position on it. If you have Trayvon Martin or you have George Zimmerman in crosshairs on your website, I want to know your position based on the facts, sir, so I'm just asking you the facts. I'm sure you can handle those questions.
Well, the facts, unanimously,
that... Let me ask the questions. I already know your position, but let me ask you the questions. And they can tell me positions on them after the series of questions. I just want to know whether or not you know that George Zimmerman lived in the community that he was patrolling and whether or not there had been robberies in that community, yes or no?
I know that he worked in that community.
Okay, he lives and works as a neighborhood watchman in the community he lives. He also says that there have been robberies in that community, and that has been proven to be a fact. Third, Trayvon Martin was walking through that community. Yes, he was unarmed. That is a fact.
Okay, what's the problem then?
And then we'll go further.
Trayvon, you just can't pull out a gun and shoot somebody because you feel like it. Trayvon didn't antagonize or threaten George Zimmerman in any way.
What evidence do you have to prove that, sir? We do know for a fact that George Zimmerman did suffer a broken nose and gashes to the back of the head. Is that also true?
We do know for a fact that the video showing him at the police station, the police bringing him into the police station, revealed that he didn't have any injuries.
That's also not true, sir. ABC News showed an enhanced video of that same video showing gashes on the back of his head. That was reported by Matt Gutman of ABC News, who's been covering the story since the beginning. Matt Gutman showed an enhanced video of the gashes behind George Zimmerman's head. That is a fact.
The fact of the matter is that I didn't see it. And
okay, No, I understand it. I'm not disputing whether or not.
I saw the original video.
I understand it. I'm only making you abreast of the facts. Now, fourth. Let's move on. Fourth, George Zimmerman was involved in a case of Sherman Ware in Florida. Are you aware of who Sherman Ware is?
Yes, that's somebody physically assaulted, right?
No. Sherman Ware was a black homeless man who was insulted by a Sanford police officer's son. He was punched, he was sucker punched from behind by a police lieutenant's son in Sanford, Florida. George Zimmerman handed out flyers to the black community to rally them to get support for this homeless man who was beaten by a cop. Sherman Ware is black. George Zimmerman went against the Sanford Police Department to get justice for a black man a year and a half before the shooting of Trayvon Martin. How could George Zimmerman be a racist trying to get support for a homeless black man who was assaulted by a cop? A cop's son. Wouldn't that disprove or wouldn't that throw a little water on the incensed accusation of racism?
Well, whatever his activities was with against the police or whatever, he gunned down a young black, unarmed black boy in second-degree murder, and that's what he's being charged for and being accused.
And I understand that, Mr. Shabazz.
His family
again,
was justice.
Mr. Shabazz, you said that George Zimmerman was a racist. I just gave you evidence to prove that he could not be a racist.
Well, we got one dead black boy to prove that he is.
Well, in that case, then I can say that every black man that ever shot another black boy was a racist. If all we need is a black person to be shot.
The ethnicities are entirely different and historically hostile to one another. It's a lot of Spanish refer to themselves as white. This is a known fact.
No,
he has a white father. George Zimmerman has a white father. and he has a white father and a Hispanic mother.
How does that? I'm trying to understand that. Why does? How does that make him? How in any way does that make him a racist? Because he just because George Zimmerman is part white, part Spanish, and Trayvon Martin is black, that this is automatically a racist shooting, sir?
George Zimmerman should be accused of race crime, race hate, and murdering a young black boy in murder. Murdered him. In first degree, but they took so long, they try to cover up their tracks by calling it second degree murder.
So no matter what it is that I say to you, no matter what the evidence is I give you, George Zimmerman is not black. A black 17-year-old is shot, automatic racism. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, we know that George Zimmerman is not black, but...
Okay, so I understand it. He's not black. So he gets into
right.
an altercation. He gets into an altercation. He fires his weapon, and it's automatically a racist shooting, regardless of
Absolutely.
The fact...
Absolutely. The facts speak for itself. Just look at it for what it is.
Sir, where are you getting your facts from, Mr. Shabazz? I just want to know.
Reliable sources.
You have, sir, come on. Please, don't try to pull the wool over my eyes. You got no evidence to support what you're saying. You just have the races of two individuals and one of them being shot who's black, and you are using that as a call for racism. And you've got no evidence to support it because you do not know the background of George Zimmerman. You do not know the background of Trayvon Martin. And all you know is what you've heard in the media, who has perpetuated the ideology that this was a racist shooting. You have no evidence with that.
I'm not a cold-hearted analyst and psychoanalytical person like you.
Well, sir,
I see a black father crying. I see a black mother crying. I see a community up in outrage. And I'm feeling what they're feeling. Simple as that.
Okay, so wouldn't the Occupy movement be better served to have the information before calling this a racist incident?
Well, we marched down with those Howard students, and they agreed that was a racist incident.
Well, of course you agreed with it. I mean, of course you got guys like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and the new Black Panthers telling you that it is. You don't need the evidence. You have people who are telling you that it is, so you just believe them. You don't do any independent thinking on your own. It's a mob mentality. This is clearly
wrong.
A mob mentality. JC, if you're on the line, it looks like we have a caller. Can we find out whether or not he wants to come on and ask a question for me, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Bring him on. Let me
again reintroduce you. If you just joined the show, we're on the phone with, Hassan Shabazz. He is the one of the members of Occupy DC, part of the entire Occupy movement that is across the country, everywhere you can look. He's also got, of course, his website, which is www.occupymovement.com. United Occupy Movement.org, if you'd like to check out the website. I gotta ask you, because this is what I'm talking about in the beginning of our interview, Mr. Shabazz, was that I don't see any clear direction in the Occupy movement. And for the Occupy movement to get involved in the Trayvon Martin case based on incendiary comments made by people who have no facts in this case, this is what I think deteriorates your movement, because there is no structure. Is that, I mean,
well,
do you not...
We're not going to develop that kind of... Can I speak? We're not going to develop that kind of structure overnight.
Well, you've had over 44 days in the Trayvon Martin case to figure it out. You guys have already decided that this is a race issue. Let's take a call. This is Mike from Florida. The number is 347-308-8701. Mike, you're on with Reese on the radio, and and Hassan Shabazz of the Occupy DC movement.
Hey, Reese, Mr. Shabazz, you know, I'm listening to you guys, and you know, you couldn't be more right, Reese. The information on this case has been out there from day one. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a self-defense case. The Orlando TV station interviewed the eyewitness, John, I believe his name is,
yes,
the day after the incident. It's on their website that he described exactly what happened, that he saw Trayvon Martin on top of George Zimmerman beating him as Zimmerman called for help. It's cut and dried. And the misinformation that's been spread by, I don't know, Reverend Jesse and Reverend Al, and, you know, the mainstream media has people whipped up into a frenzy. And as someone who lives in Florida, let me tell you, it's a little scary down here.
Mm.
You know, people are marching and threatening violence. And I'll tell you, I went to a gun show in Tampa last weekend, okay? And I've gone to gun shows my entire life. I have never seen one this busy with people buying shotguns and AKs. So the rhetoric needs to come down just a little bit, because this place is a powder keg.
Well, see, this is what I would like to explain to Mr. Shabazz, is that this rhetoric is so amped up, and when you've had the violence that's happened in Oakland by the Occupy movement, throwing Molotov cocktails, rioting in the street, the mayor's got to shut down businesses for days, the damage is overwhelmingly high as far as monetarily, and now they're involving themselves in this Trayvon Martin case and calling it racist. And why wouldn't people who are just ordinary citizens not fear for their lives with the screaming of this racism? Can you understand where they're coming from, Mr. Shabazz, or where Mike is coming from? He lives down in Florida.
Well, if they're coming from the truth, I'm coming from the truth. But the point of the matter is that Trayvon was killed murdering cold-blooded in an act of race revenge, a racial attack.
How can you call it race revenge?
Ethnic violence against blacks.
How can you call it cold blood?
Yeah, cold blood is that's where exactly, Mike, and I apologize. That's where I have an issue. You called it cold blood. There's no proof that this shooting was in cold blood.
If anything,
we got one dead black boy, don't we?
Can I speak, Mr. Shabazz?
Sure.
We also have a man who was beaten and treated by EMS on scene. How do you explain that if it's a cold-blooded shooting? If he wanted to shoot Trayvon Martin in cold blood, you just pull him off behind a building and shoot him. Why do you take a beating first? That's asinine.
Mr. Shabazz?
Well, he killed an unarmed black boy, so...
No. You understand the concept of...
His life is over.
Do you understand the concept of battery? Mr. Shabazz, do you understand the concept of battery, sir?
George Zimmerman's life is over.
Do you know what... Mr. Shabazz, do you know what battery is, sir? Can you answer the question? Mr. Shabazz. Hush. Do you know what battery is? Answer the question.
We're going down to Sanford, Florida for Joe Zimmerman's trial to make sure that justice will be served. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, hold on. Mr. Shabazz, don't hang up. There's no reason to. Mike from Florida, if I may ask you, can you tell us what section or what region you are in Florida? Are you close to Tampa?
Yeah, I'm close to Tampa, actually.
Okay. So you're familiar with Michelle Williams, the chief of staff.
Oh, yeah. Michelle Williams is a... She's the loudmouth Black Panther chief of staff,
yeah,
who, when she thought she was going to have the feds lean on her, suddenly turned into a sweet angel who cried to some idiot reporter from Fox 13, I believe.
Yes. Now, you said she...
I didn't mean to incite violence when she and Sean Quelly were calling for, what, rivers of blood?
Yes. Mike, you said she thought she had the feds on her?
I would assume that once that story went viral,
right,
that she was a little afraid that she was going to have the feds beating down her neck.
Well, that was interesting because, you know, she does, again, because I believe because of her criminal past, I think their last arrest was sometime in 2005, that, you know, there may be some clear truth to that. The fact that she was making such threatening statements on that level, maybe she spoke before she thought, and now all of a sudden she's trying to change her image because she's been all over the place. You know, Mr. Shabazz, I also have to say, all things considered, even the new Black Panther Party is pulling back a little bit on even their claims of racism and all of the hyperbole that's been out there before. I'm still trying to understand why Occupy hasn't taken at least a position, at least to fall back a little bit and sort of rethink their position.
We'll fall back when George Zimmerman's life is over, and it's about to be over.
Wow.
Can I tell Mr. Shabazz what's going to happen here, Reese?
Sure, and you're probably going to say what I've been saying for days.
Yeah,
please. This case
is going to be tossed out when the new judge looks at it. The affidavit that Corey wrote up is full of The first judge recused herself because her husband has a contract with CNN. The new judge is a hardcore Marine, is a Vietnam veteran who's been a judge forever. He's not going to bow to the pressure of the unruly mob, and this case is going to be dismissed.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it better than me.
Black people will be down in Florida to see that it won't be dismissed, that justice will be served, and that George Zimmerman's life will be over.
He's going to walk.
So, Mr. Shabazz, excuse me, I'm sorry, if I can jump in here. Mr. Shabazz, so what you're saying is, if they try to throw this out, the black people are coming. So get ready. Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to do my part to defend my people. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to do my part to defend black people with my life if I got to.
You're going to do your part to defend black people with your life. Mr. Shabazz, the facts here are that a young 17-year-old man lost his life. What a shame it is. That young 17-year-old boy, Trayvon, will never breathe another ounce of air in his ever. His parents will never see him. It is an absolute shame. It's a shame that he lost his life. They have arrested Mr. Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman should be going through the justice system the way the justice system is supposed to handle it, hopefully. But you cannot sit here and say that just because George Zimmerman was half Puerto Rican and half white.
Half Peruvian
and half white. And that Trayvon was black, that it was simply a racial issue. You can't say that. You don't have the facts. You didn't even know that George Zimmerman lived in the community where Trayvon was shot at. You kept saying you knew he was an employee there. He's not an employee there. He's not on anybody's payroll. He's a resident there that appointed himself chief of the neighborhood watch. So, I mean, I urge you to get the facts before you continue this rhetoric of racism, okay?
Excuse me. I said he was a neighborhood watch.
Well, I understand that.
Mr. Shabazz, the Neighborhood Watch is not a place of employment. He's not an employee there. He's not on anybody's payroll. It is simply a volunteer basis, and George Zimmerman appointed himself that position, okay? So you didn't even know that. You didn't even know that he lived in that community. And he wasn't just patrolling the community that night. He was leaving to go do his week, he goes once a week on whatever particular day that was to go shopping. Those are the facts.
All right. I said George Zimmerman was the neighborhood watchman. That's all everybody needed to know. That's part of the facts. And he murdered a young black boy and the black community. You have to stop trying to fight against the black community's desire for justice.
No one's saying that. Trayvon Martin doesn't deserve justice. He's getting justice now. George Zimmerman's been arrested. He will go through the due process. But what you are saying is that if George Zimmerman does not get the justice that people who have already convicted him get, want him to get, if he doesn't get the justice that people like yourself says he should get, that in some sort of way people should go down there and rally in some sort of way.
It's sad y'all defending that racist. It's real sad.
Well, what are you saying that people should go down to Florida to do? Mike, I'll let you get in 1 second.
Sure.
But I want to know, what is it that you want black people to go? If this case is thrown out, if George Zimmerman is proved to be, have killed Trayvon in self-defense, and he does not get charged, he does not spend a day in jail, what are you suggesting that people from the Occupy movement, or for black people for that matter, what should they do?
Put targets on George Zimmerman's face. As simple as that.
You're advocating violence.
Somebody will see him.
Are you advocating violence, Mr. Shabazz?
I'm advocating justice.
Well, don't.
I'm advocating justice.
Don't split hairs.
Don't half step it.
Just tell me what it is that you're advocating.
I'm advocating justice.
But what are you saying justice is? What you're saying justice is, let us define that for those people that don't understand what you mean by justice. Is you, if the court...
Trayvon Stephanie know what justice is.
You know what?
George Zimmerman don't know what justice is.
Excuse me, Mr. Shabazz. I don't think...
Trayvon Stephanie know what justice is.
Shabazz,
George Zimmerman is going to find out what justice is.
He's going to filibuster. Mike, hold on, please.
Mr. Shabazz.
Okay.
I think that it is very disrespectful for you to sit here and talk about how Trayvon's family feels about anything. Don't bring them into this. This is about you, about how your movement and you feel about this. These are your opinions. Don't put words in their mouth, because I haven't heard them one single moment come up with any of the rhetoric that you are spewing at this moment. No one in Trayvon's family has said that. They want justice. They feel like they got justice because George Zimmerman is in prison right now and is awaiting trial. None of us know what's going to happen, but this is what they wanted and this is what they got. Not one time did they ever give any rhetoric of any violence, of anything to that nature. None of that. So do not disrespect their family and put that onto them, because this is on you.
Who's disrespecting their family? I've only spoken for Trayvon Martin and his family. You're trying to inject that. You're just trying to...
No, that's what you said. Mr. Shabazz, that's all.
Okay,
okay,
let's let Mike. Mike, go ahead. What did you want to interject, sir?
Well, yeah, it sure sounds like this gentleman is calling for violence, or he's threatening violence if he doesn't get justice. But he appears to be confused on what justice means. Justice doesn't mean we get what we want.
Right.
Justice means the system gets to look at this, sir, and rule, not you. And
I'm
sir, Reese, can you cut in, please, like, speak?
I'm a cold man.
Well, let me tell you
what happens, Mr. Shabazz. Okay, this is going to be a little scary. If you want to talk tough, I can talk tough right back to you. Do not bring your nonsense to Florida. This is not the place for riots and nonsense. And sir, if you'll shut up, I will tell you what's going to happen. You're going to die if you do that. This is not the place for your nonsense.
You ain't going to do nothing.
Hold on, guys. Now, putting everybody on. Hold on. Now, listen. Again, Mr. Shabazz, I put you on hold. You can talk all day, but you can only hear me. I cannot hear you. I'm putting you on hold. Mike, I appreciate where it is that you're coming from, and I understand what you're saying. You, in no way, in your community, wish to be threatened in any way, and I appreciate that. I appreciate where you're coming from. This is exactly the beef that I have with the new Black Panther Party. What Mr. Shabazz is doing now is that making that inference of they're going to come down and do something, but they're unwilling to commit to what it is that they want to do or what it is that they want to say. So again, Mr. Shabazz, and I'll give you an opportunity. I'm giving you that opportunity now. You either be consistent and be forthcoming about what you believe that justice is. Don't dance around it. I'm just going to ask you once.
Everybody gonna see.
No. Now you're back on the air. You're back on the air. Answer my question. What are you advocating in the event that this case is thrown out, as Mike from Florida suggested? What justice are you advocating?
We're going to see. Let there not be justice. And there's going to be justice. There's not going to be no other choice than there to be justice. Trayvon Martin and his family is not expecting for George Zimmerman to ever see daylight again. So I said what I said. We don't have to continue the show anymore. I'm gonna be too busy getting the black community ready. That's all I got to say.
Mr. Shabazz, I think that you know I
it's
live,
unfortunate.
Do you live here in the Washington D.C. metro area?
You know, you already know I live here in D.C. You already know that.
Okay, Mr. Shabazz, you know what? I live here. Mr. Shabazz, excuse me. I live here too. Okay, this is a well-rounded area. This is a well-rounded area as far as interculturally, racially, and things to that nature. And I think that it's sad to know that somebody that lives probably within a 25-mile radius of where I live is spewing this ridiculous rhetoric. It is so sad that anybody anywhere is doing it. And I promise you that no sensible people, black, white, Latino, any of that, is going to follow any of this New Panther rhetoric that you are spewing at this moment. The New Panther Party has already taken a back seat. Are you trying to take the seat that they just stepped out of? I don't understand. This is ridiculous.
Okay, well, I'm going to be preparing my black
ridiculous.
Community to be ready. I'm going to be preparing my black community to be ready. This is redundant. This is redundant.
No. Don't get that. Listen, see, this is exactly what it is that I'm talking about. And Mr. Shabazz, and that characterization of this show is incorrect, and it's appalling because
you
this, again,
got,
what
you only got three people to beat up on me over there, brother.
Whoa. Listen, Mr. Shabazz. What you believe takes conviction, sir. What you believe has to have conviction. And if you believe it, you can stand in a mass and preach what it is that you believe.
But what kind of radio program are you running? When I come on, I'm polite, I'm objective,
everyone here has...
And then you bring this Nazi on here, to threaten me, man.
Wait. What Nazi? Wait. Stop. What Nazi, sir?
The Nazi you had on the air.
The gentleman who called in? He's still on the
phone.
Yes. You know nothing about him. Why would you why would you in any way consider him a Nazi?
Okay, but we don't have to be redundant no more. You can close me out now. I mean, if you want, I really consider the show over. He threatened me, so I don't got nothing else to say.
No, wait. You threatened his neighborhood by saying you were coming down there to get justice.
He threatened me, so I don't have nothing else to say.
Ignorant.
All right, Mr. Shabazz, we thank you for your time. There's nothing else that we
can say. Thank you.
Thank you. There's nothing else that we can say. He couldn't deal with it, and that was it. I understand that. Mike, I put you back on again. Thank you for calling.
That guy, you ever heard the expression, paper tiger?
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely. Well, I knew that, again, the threats are empty, and sadly enough, from the Occupy movement, as it was from the new Black Panther Party, which we clearly proved here on this show. Mm-hmm. And it's been absolutely, like, for me, it's asinine, sadly enough.
It's asinine.
Glad you called them on it, and I'll be honest with you. As much as I, you know, again, I wanted to be respectful, but you know what? You called it exactly the way I call it all the time. The bottom line is, and that's what people like him need to hear. If you're going to come down to my community and you're going to threaten my way of life, you're going to have to expect to lose yours.
Yeah, basically.
And I think what you did that he was apprehensive to just come out and say was, look, I know you are threatening violence, but let me tell you something. I don't care how in what way you decide to phrase it. Let me let you know, if you come down here and you start any trouble, you're going to die. It's that simple.
Yeah. I mean, this is the rural South still.
Okay. Well, no, I know. Listen, I was back there in the late 1980s and the early 90s. And even then, I remember the first time I came to Florida as a black man, I'll never forget the first little thing that they told me. They said, hey, listen, in Florida, it's still the South. You know, it's still not really appropriate to look a white man in the eye. And I used to always they didn't mean it to scare me. They were just saying that there are some people out there who still have that old sort of South way. And look, I wasn't offended by it. I just had to respect its culture. Some places are like that.
There is probably no state in the nation except for Texas that has more firearms in people's hands than Florida. This is not the place for riots. It ain't going to happen here.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Okay. This isn't South Central L.A.
This is not South Central. This is not Oakland.
Exactly.
This is Texas with three beaches, okay?
I got to go to the top of the hour, but before I do, Mike, were you just perusing and found our show, or?
No, I came across you last week, and actually I tweeted you yesterday, I guess.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you so much for that. Okay, I did get your tweet. Thank you.
Yeah, I love your show, man. It's great, and it was fun dealing with that guy. And, man, I'm telling you, I look on the net all the time, and his mentality is pretty much the consistent mentality of the lockstep Trayvon Martin was a good, innocent boy mentality. It's weird. They pick up on one piece of information from a month ago, and they run with it.
Absolutely.
No matter what comes out afterwards, they stick that.
They found their narrative, Mike, and they stuck with it. Speaking of your tweet before we go, when I saw your name, I thought you were a comedian. I was like, really? Why would he be following me?
All right, Reese, well, look, man, keep up the good show, and I will call back again, I'm sure, okay?
Thank you again, man. We appreciate your call.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Right.
You too. Mike from Florida calling in. Let's do the top of the hour. We got the first photos of the prostitute involved in the sex scandal with the Secret Service. So let's
sexy she is.
Oh, yeah, you saw that, did you?
Yes.
We'll come back. We got that and plenty of news when we return right here on the Reese on the Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity.
Hey, how does it man? It's people for the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Naga da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Top of the hour, 3 minutes after the hour, right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is April the 19th, 2012. So what'd you think, JC?
Wow. There were so many times I really wanted to jump into the conversation. Because of anybody that was on the phone, I probably feel the most like he does. However, well, not so much like the most that he does, but I'm probably one of the few that in our crew that outside of James and
Derek.
Derek, I'm sorry, Derek, yeah. Oh, my boy Derek. that feels as though that Zimmerman is wrong in this situation. But there's no way in hell I would have taken a stance that this guy has taken, being so in the dark about it. I mean, their knowledge. I feel for their movement. If he's leadership in their movement,
right?
He doesn't have organization skills. He can't organize his thoughts. How the hell is he going to organize some people?
I don't know.
But on the same token, all it takes is a basic mode of thought to get these people going. To use one of your terms, a basic narrative to get them going, which is the actual scary part.
Well, you know, he's going to do what it is that he's going to do. I think what his primary focus on, like a lot of these black people in these movements, they are socialists. They are, you know, they're teetering on communists. And they've got their narrative. They, you know, they've got their marching orders from guys like Reverend Al Sharpton. And they've decided what it is that they want to do or they're going to do. And it's sad, oddly enough, because you think that these people are educated enough. You know, they think that they're the smartest people in the room. They want to change the way the world is. But how can they possibly change it? And they're so naive.
Right. I was thinking, it's like, okay, I know you talk about questions on the screen when you're talking about Danny Glover. It's like, well, how many tents of Danny Glover bought, to your knowledge?
Yeah, that's what I said. What is he contributing? What could he possibly be contributing other than speaking? There's a whole bunch of these people who are out there. Susan Sarandon walked out there. Michael Moore walked out there. Those guys didn't contribute anything. They just came down there to see it and get their picture taken. It was a media opportunity.
Not only that, but they are people who feel as though their name has value.
Right.
So lending their name to that cause is all that they're going to do. They're not coming out of pocket.
Yeah, then of course they're not going to come out of pocket. That would be insane. Those people aren't going to come out of pocket. Their whole idea, and this is what makes it sad about these elitists, this is the part that angers me the most about these guys, that to protect their money, because they know that the Occupy movement's going for everybody else's, to protect their money, they go out there, they make an appearance, so when all of the cries for social justice come out, they get a pass. That's why Warren Buffett is out there promoting the Buffett rule, because then we can say, you know, Buffett, man, he's the second richest man in the world, but he supports higher taxes on the rich. We won't bother him. Oh, Bill Gates is friends with Obama. He wants tax reforms. We won't bother him. But, you know, it's like that's what these people, George Clooney is out there. He's saying, yeah, we should pay more taxes. Matt Damon, yeah, we should pay more taxes. But Bono, you got to see Jason Matera. Go to jasonmatera.com. And this was the kid who got into that shoving match with Chris Rock. At the Sundance Film Festival. You remember that? Okay, Jason Matera. If you go to jasonmatera.com, and that's MATTERA.com, go to his website and go to the conversation he has with Bono, lead singer of U2. And he literally puts Bono's feet to the fire, and he says, you know, you've been crossing the globe talking about social justice and people paying their fair share. Why is it that U2's assets are put overseas in a separate account to protect them from tax liens? And Bono had no answer for that. He goes, I don't do that. That's not me. That's, you know, that's the company. I don't do that. You know you're responsible for that. You're being protected, but you're running around telling everybody else how they should pay their fair share. You know,
right.
This is exactly what it is that the liberals do, these liberal elites do. They tell everybody else how to live while they shelter themselves from that same animus that people like the Occupy Wall Street have. And it's bogus. I mean, I'm just insulted that this guy, Hassan Shabazz, after promoting his website, giving him a fair discussion, when he decides to make it inflammatory, can't deal with the facts. And that's the thing that I always hear. When you give them the facts and it's not what it is that it doesn't support their narrative, they become outraged. and then they don't want to talk anymore.
And the sad part is, it's not even his narrative. It's a narrative that he's adopted.
Right, exactly.
And believes to be true and gospel.
And that's the thing, because he sat here and said in the beginning, he respects everybody's speech, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He clearly didn't. When Mike called, and he didn't like what he had to say, the first thing he wants to do is call him a Nazi. He wants to be a flamethrower, which is
right.
Like, how am I supposed to have any respect for him after that?
Not sitting on this show selling wolf tickets.
Exactly. And again, you know, there's no way that they're going to, you know, look, when George Zimmerman is released, the only thing they're going to be is angry. They're going to be
I'm still head to head with you on that one. I don't think he's going to be released.
The case is going to be thrown out beyond the shadow of a doubt, man.
He'll be recharged with something else.
Listen to me. Look up. Well, they have to recharge him. I mean, that's a fact. But if you go online and look up...
No, I understand that. People, I mean, they're charging with something that they could never convict him on.
No, forget about never convicting him on, JC. That's not the issue here. It's not just that. Every legal scholar on the left and the right has said that this affidavit that this woman, Angela Corey, wrote, this affidavit that was written, okay? They said, legal scholars have said it's so wrong, it's so pathetic, that they're surprised that anybody would have allowed it to actually go forward. And the reason why they're saying that is that in the affidavit, they make assumptions about Barack, about George Zimmerman, that can't even be proven without having someone investigate his mind, saying that he profiled Trayvon Martin. The police report completely mitigates that. It mitigates that. Because of the fact that he called 911. If he was profiling him, they would have to sue George Zimmerman for calling 911 on him. And George Zimmerman's within his right to do that. They can't even prove anything that's in this affidavit. That's why it's so reckless that it was written. And that's why I say it's going to be thrown out on his face. When they come back, then not only they're going to have to charge him with manslaughter, that's the only charge they should have ever done, but it was political. That's what Alan Dershowitz says, even the worst part. He says that the entire affidavit was political. This woman was trying to garner votes. It screams Mike Nifong, the prosecutor in the Duke lacrosse case.
Right. I mean, I agree. I don't, there's no way in hell they're going to get a murder, too. They'd have to charge him with something lesser. But even if he goes for a manslaughter, I mean, he is going to do some time in jail for that, for something.
I don't believe so. I believe that the stand your ground law, bottom line, but beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think it's going to be upheld here. Come on, man. Even Janet Napolitano, the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, voted for it in 2006. And she's from Florida. And she's a crazy, and she's a lib, man. She's a liberal.
I know that the evidence will speak for itself.
It has to.
And I know what it says to me, and I'm pretty sure you feel what it speaks to you, and I still have one problem and issue with the whole situation, but I'll let it play out in court.
Well, I know your problem is with that overhead view of the area, and you believe that George Zimmerman did not follow orders and continued to follow them. That's what your issue is with Trayvon Martin.
I mean, no. My issue, what it boils down to is, I mean, and in a nutshell, yeah, but I mean, it's a little simpler than that. My issue is, explain the distance where you're supposed to have met the cop to where the shooting took place if you didn't follow this kid. That's my issue.
He doesn't dispute that he followed him. I'm just saying maybe he got a considerable distance before he decided to walk back. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Let's take a break because we got into this anyway, and I want to get into three other stories that I got lined up. We'll take a break, take a breather.
Entertainment.
What's that?
Entertainment.
Yes, we got to get into entertainment when we come back. So let's get into entertainment. Let's get into the pictures that came out of the BlackBerry prostitute, which is what I'm now calling her. She's the
iPhone hoe.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Rock down this damn country.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack? What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in the...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. from the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman, New Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E, I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. And we're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 20 minutes after the hour. It's April the 19th, 2012. Now, tomorrow it's going to be April 20th. Now, somebody's going to have to let me in on this, and I'll ask around because I don't understand that culture. But tomorrow's supposed to be 420, right? Is that, you know, that's weed language, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Can you, Mary, can you come over here, please, and explain to me what the 420 thing means? Because I don't get it. I've never understood it. I know that Steel Reserve, the beer, calls itself Steel Reserve 211. I know that 211 is, you know, a robbery in progress. That much I know. I know that little tidbit of information. I've never quite understood what the 420 means in weed lingo.
I'm not sure why it's called 420. To be honest with you, I don't know the history behind it, but I know what it is.
So does that mean that it's like some sort of like National Smoke Day or something?
Yeah, it is. That's what tomorrow is. April 20th is National Smoke Day every year.
It's Smoke Out.
Yeah.
Smoke Out Day. I do remember that as a kid.
And they actually go out to the lawn at the monument and smoke out there.
Okay, so it'll be National Smoke Out Day and there'll be puffing weed by the monument?
Ironically, on the same day that Danny Glover
is going to be. Yeah, Danny Glover's going
to
be giving his speech for the Occupy movement. I mean, yeah,
maybe they'll talk about legalizing marijuana.
Of course they will. Of course they will.
How to get us out of debt. I think that they should legalize it anyway. I'm a firm believer of that, but whatever.
Really?
Yes, you know that.
I got old George Soros and what's his name? I'm not forgetting his name. Paul Ryan over here. It's legalizing marijuana.
I think anyway, they should.
I know. Anyway, I want you to listen to this audio. Now, apparently this whole Kim Kardashian thing, and here I am. I remember months ago I said that this was a Kim Kardashian-free zone. What the hell if this woman doesn't keep coming into my life? Now, look, I'm not going to lie. Yes, she's attractive. All right? She's a good-looking girl.
She's beautiful.
A little hairy for me, but... You know, from the reports. But, yes, she's a good-looking girl.
She suffers from eczema, though.
Does she?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. Well, like I said, I don't
follow
her like
that. Oh, yeah.
But this is an interesting conversation that I'm about to play for you for several reasons. Because, one, this Kim Kardashian running for mayor of Glendale, California, everyone's talking about it like it's the real deal. Like it's going to happen. It doesn't matter the fact that she said she's not going to do it for another 5 years because she's got to live in Glendale
she's
for
gonna
5 years.
She's going to be the mayor?
She wants to be the mayor of Glendale.
The only thing that Kim Kardashian can be the mayor of.
Mm-hmm. Please don't say something offensive. Are you going to say something really horrible?
No, I'm not. Okay, forget it.
Anyway. Okay, first, and that's one thing. She can't be elected. That's one. They appoint the mayor of Glendale. That's the other one.
Yeah, but the morons will appoint her as the mayor.
It's a strong possibility that Glendale will completely throw caution to the wind and do it. But we're not going to see it for another 5 years. But this was an interesting conversation. Outside of the Staples Center, Michael Clark Duncan and Omarosa were asked by TMZ,
would they vote for her?
No, about Kim Kardashian being the mayor of Glendale. Now, they don't even give all the facts that, one, she can't be elected, you have to be appointed, that whole bit. But when Michael Clark Duncan hears this, when the photographer asks him the question, and Omarosa is the woman's voice that you hear, and for those of you got to know who Omarosa is.
Oh, God, who doesn't?
Okay, she is the villain from the first season of The Apprentice.
Yeah.
She's famous for that show. Well, this exchange is going on between the cameraman, Michael Clark Duncan of the Green Mile fame and Armageddon, and Omarosa from The Apprentice. And this is how it went down. What I am about to reveal at the end of this, you might catch on. It's near the end of the conversation. When you find this out, you're going to go, what? Just listen in.
So what do you think about Kim Kardashian trying to be the mayor of Glendale?
I didn't know that. The what?
She's going to try to be the mayor of Glendale.
No, she's not.
Yes, she's going to try to get into politics now.
Are you playing?
No, I'm not playing.
Kim Kardashian is going to be the mayor of Glendale.
Hey,
that's
listen,
what he said.
Yeah, that's
reality
true.
Reality's going to another level.
Oh, please.
Go, Kim, go.
There's not going to be no mayor. Glendale what?
Just kidding.
I just want to know what. Glendale what? Hey. California, Arizona,
yeah,
where?
California.
I do not believe you, man. When did
I thought on Yahoo.
Who else is going to play? Oh, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Ventura's one. We've got, I can't think of the guy named Bussy. He's from the real world.
Glendale, are you serious?
Yeah.
When did you hear this?
I heard it on Yahoo this morning. I was looking up all the
emails. Do you believe it?
I don't know. It's like,
that's been spreading. Really smart.
Yeah, it's been spreading the news.
You know what? She's really smart. And she wouldn't be the first.
Kim Kardashian, babe.
She's really smart. I think she can do it.
How do you know she's smart?
We've had three guys from The Apprentice run for office. They haven't won, but they've run. Kevin Powell in New York ran for Congress. It's not unusual. Kim can win.
Yeah.
You really think that?
It's not hating on her.
I just don't know. I'm not hating on her. I just don't know. No, it's not. It's just that when you said that, I thought he was joking.
Yeah, it's real.
Because reality's taking over.
Then you should applaud it, not
hate on it. You can get nominated, but somebody like the situation goes out and buys
it.
What?
Don't do it.
She always on reality.
The reality bashing.
She always thinks reality is like the best thing going.
Yeah.
She always thinks reality is the best thing.
Just look at the rating.
But look at what happens to their lives afterwards.
What? They're kicking scripted butt.
Look what happened to Lamar. Once he got into reality.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. More reality bashing.
I'm just saying. You said reality's so good. I'm just saying.
He'll be in the doghouse tonight, believe me.
Come on.
Oh, sorry, honey. Thank you.
I'm telling you, once you let those cameras in your life, your whole life changes.
Yep.
And you have to be ready for that. And some people are not ready for that.
Yeah.
And if you look, reality is good, but then...
What does that have to do with Kim Kardashian running for office? Kim, run, girl, run. That's all I'm going to say. And you can win. Don't let the haters...
I'm not a hater.
Keep you
I
from
gave
running.
I gave already. Just let us down. It's coming up.
Go, Kim. You can do it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Thank you.
Now, again, this is Omarosa, Michael Clark Duncan, talking about Kim Kardashian. You probably missed the small key part of what Omarosa said about Michael Clark Duncan in that piece. She said he's gonna be in the doghouse when we get home.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're dating?
They're about to get married.
No! Get out of here!
Yeah, they're about to get married.
Stop lying!
He said it when they were on the talk. They've been together for a while, actually.
This is news to me.
You don't do pop culture like you used to.
Omarosa and Michael Clark Duncan are together?
They've been together for a very long time now.
Really?
You're going to be in the doghouse when we get home, yeah.
I couldn't, when I heard that, I went, what?
Yeah. He's the only man that could tame her. Look at him.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was funny because when I found out, you know, it's funny because I always rag on Michael Clark Duncan. We've always ragged on him, you know, the Green Mile. Like, we give the impression that that's the guy, you know, he is. Like, he's kind of adult, like, you know, like a big brute.
Yeah.
Not very. But when he said, I'm sorry, I was actually surprised, and I guess this is kind of minuscule for me to be surprised at, but I turned around and said, he knows the difference between Glendale, Arizona, and Glendale, California. I was like, oh, he knows this is Glendale, Arizona. I was immediately hating on him.
That
is insane.
Yeah, listen, I'm a huge Michael Clark Duncan fan. Loved him in Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
He played a big gorilla.
Yes, I know. I called him to me.
Amoroso without lipstick is chimp-like.
Oh, man, why do you hate on his fiancé?
Because I've always hated Amoroso. But he was a bodyguard. In fact, he traded off the job. With another bodyguard as a favor, because he was supposed to protect Biggie Smalls the night he got killed.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, he was supposed to be with Biggie that night.
Wow, that's interesting. You know who got his acting career started? Michael Clark Duncan.
No, who?
A Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, okay.
Yeah. That's right.
What was his first role? I can't remember what his first role was.
I don't remember what his first role was either. For some odd reason, I'm thinking that it wasn't that. I was gonna say one of those a John Travolta film, but it wasn't. But I think
I would have guessed Oz.
No, I think he was a little earlier than that. I know the first time I ever saw him was in a Bruce Willis film. I just for the life of me can't remember what it was. But can you believe these people going ape about Kim Kardashian being the mayor of Glendale?
Do they have a budget problem?
Well, you know what? If they did, look, I'll admit, the girl knows how to make money.
That's without question. She's got other skills, too.
You know what? She probably does. I'll admit, there are probably people hating on her intelligence. But, see, I don't rip on her. I don't rip on her for one reason. This is a girl who turned a job as an assistant to a no-talent broad into a career of her own. I mean,
no. No.
She was Paris Hilton's assistant.
I know she was Paris Hilton's assistant, but that's not what put her on the map.
No. It may have brought
her back. Yes, yes. Yes.
But, no, people knew who she was, remember.
Yeah, they knew who she was, and yeah, she was beautiful.
You would have never seen, you would have never watched the Ray J video if not for Kim Kardashian putting it out. People knew who she was.
Right, and they knew she was gorgeous, she was beautiful, and they wanted to see that.
Yeah,
And if she really, really, really wanted to put a skill to work, she'd go down there and be a madam in Cartagena, Colombia.
No, she, that would probably be an interesting place for her to be.
Bring her how-to video down there with her.
Speaking of Cartagena, so the pictures of the prostitute that I guess started it all came out in the Daily News. She's not a bad-looking girl.
Not only that, she will have her own show in this country in no time.
Yeah, well, she can get the visa thing worked out, yes. But I'm looking at these pictures of her, and I'm trying to figure out. She's got a kid. She's working at a call girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's remotely attractive. You know, I mean, she's not what you would have expected. I mean, she wasn't what I expected when I saw the pictures of her.
You know what I kind of was expecting?
What were you expecting?
Schwarzenegger's maid.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Like, I was really, really expecting the worst out of this. But their internet photos, I mean, she's built like a brick. I mean, I'll give her that. I mean, she's got the asset. You know, I mean, yeah. I'll be honest with you. What I feel horrible about, and I can't believe I'm going to say this.
What's that?
Whoever the Secret Service guy was, okay, if he was only willing to pay her $30, she must have been horrible. Exactly.
More reason for her to pick up that Kim Kardashian how-to tape.
But I mean, I'm saying to myself, I mean, this is not a bad-looking woman. She's
a beautiful woman.
He only thought she was worth $30.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I heard her asking price was $800, that was when I completely went nuts, because I was going, $800? Man, she better look good. And then I saw the picture, and I went, oh, all right, she got a legitimate beef. go to drudgereport.com. You can also go to thedailynews.com as well.
Yeah. I got a myth for you.
What's that?
I got a myth for you.
You got a myth?
Yeah.
Go for it.
A myth and a fact.
Sure.
Relating to what we were talking about earlier, the origin of that 420.
Mm-hmm.
I dug it up. The myth is there are approximately 420 active chemicals in marijuana.
Ah, I think I've heard that before.
There are approximately 315. That's a fact.
Okay.
The number goes up depending on which plant is used.
Depending on which is used. So
which
420,
plant, yeah.
420 has to do with the amount of chemicals inside marijuana.
No, that's the myth. The fact is there are only 315.
Ah, okay. So, okay, I thought it had something to do with a date, an astrological thing. I thought it was something deeper than that.
Well, it is kind of. It's become April 20th as National Pot Smokers Day. It's also Hitler's birthday.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah.
420, Mary, 420, April 20th is also Hitler's birthday.
Really?
That is hilarious.
The date of the Columbine shootings?
That's right. It is. No. Wrong.
April 20th?
Are you certain of that?
I'm reading it.
I'm almost certain that happened on the 19th.
Which was the day of the Oklahoma City bombing.
That was the Oklahoma City bombing. That's today.
Right.
Which is, and this is also the day that the federal agents stormed Waco.
Right.
That was the retaliation. The Oklahoma City bombing by Timothy McVeigh.
Right, so Ask has got it wrong. No, I'm sorry, it's About has got it wrong.
Yeah,
that's
you sure it was 420? You might be right.
No, About has got it wrong. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I am right. So
you are right, yes, you are. They are wrong.
Okay, so April 19th is definitely, excuse me, is the Columbine shooting. The reason why is because I know exactly where I was that day. I was at a bar in Atlantic City, and I was playing the little computerized one-arm jack game, the little roulette game. Not roulette. What's that other game? The one you play the one-arm jack. The lemons, the cherries, whatever that's called.
Slot machine.
The slot machine. I was playing the computerized slot machine, and I looked up, and that's when I saw that the kids were running out of the school. And I remember that exactly. That's exactly where I was in Atlantic City, April 19th. I'll never forget that.
Okay. Now the real origin of the 420, according to Steve Hager from the editor of High Times.
Okay, he would know.
Yep. him and Tommy Chong.
Mm-hmm.
The term 420 originated at San Rafael High School in 1971 among a group of about a dozen pot smokers. Who call themselves the Waldos, who are now pushing 50. The term was shorthand for the statue of Louis Pasteur to smoke pot. They intend on developing their own discrete language. They made 420 the code for time to get high.
Ah.
And the youth spread amongst the members and the entire generation, and now popular, part of popular pop culture.
Hmm.
Pop culture.
All right, well, that makes sense. I did not know that. I definitely...
Hitler's birthday.
Hitler's birthday. That's the funniest. That is the funniest. I freaking love it. Other crazy news. Because you're in Connecticut, JC, is the only reason why I'm bringing this up, and I hate talking about this story, because every time I see this woman's face, I literally cannot... I mean, I have nightmares. But the woman whose face was mauled by the chimpanzee,
mm-hmm.
she's suing for $150 million, and she's suing Connecticut.
Yeah. You want to know what's nuts?
So I'm listening.
She was familiar with the chimp. She's played
with
the chimp.
Exactly. She played. She came to the house often.
Exactly.
She came to the house often to come play with the chimpanzee. She was also friends with the owner of the chimp.
Right.
You know, she had a relationship with the chimp, and the chimp just went nuts. I mean, I don't understand how. I don't know how she is going to possibly be able to prove that the state is responsible for this damage that was done to her. I mean, well, it's clear she can't sue the woman because I'm sure the woman's got no money to speak of to this day.
Yeah, none.
But, you know, I mean, her, forget about it. I mean, her life is destroyed behind that. She's always going to be remembered for that and for what that chimp did to her. So, I don't know. That baffles me. I don't think the state can even afford that. And, of course,
Connecticut?
Everything by, you know, doing the old regular. Raising taxes in Connecticut, which is what they.
Oh, yeah.
And they have.
They're pretty good at it.
In this case, I don't think she's going to win. But if she does, she does. If she doesn't. When we come back, Reese on the radio on TMZ yesterday, we will play that audio for you when we return so that you can finally hear it. It's me showing some love to, of course, the infamous and iconic Dick Clark. When we return, it's Reese on the Radio. Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb t-s,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number two, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb squats, Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost. He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
And we're back. It's Reese on the Radio, 45 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Our last interview got a lot of attention, by the way. Yeah. Julie writes, can I say that unless Mr. I Love Commie Leaders 1% Danny Glover is coming to this rally with a steamer truck full of his millions to hand out to the stoner protester, he needs to shut the F up. She's from Boston. So it's not. Which is brilliant. Thank you for that. but anyway. Okay, so yesterday, you know, TMZ Live, you know, they do this whole thing where you can call in and you can talk about the, you know, the subject they're talking about. And I was compelled. I had to. I wanted to talk about Dick Clark. And they were nice enough to let me in on their call-in line, which is TMZ Live. So I called in, and I just gave a brief little statement, just briefly. So I figured I'd share it with you guys. It's not much, but, you know, what the hell. Let me just find it here. I apologize. I should have had it queued already. I was paying attention to something. But this is pretty much how it went. This is Reese on the Radio live on TMZ Live yesterday.
Welcome back to TMZ Live. We've been talking about Dick Clark, who passed away earlier today of a heart attack. We've spoken to a lot of the people who've worked with him, but I actually want to hear what you guys have to say about Dick Clark and your memories of Bandstand or any other Dick Clark program. And we will preface this by saying Dick Clark, a man who changed music, television, pop culture, and culture generally, and civil rights. I mean, this was a man who had an enormous influence and footprint on this country. Reese from Washington, D.C., you're on TMZ Live.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to express my condolences, of course. And I always think about the grasp that Dick Clark had on us as a culture, even today. I mean, there would be no Soul Train, no TRL, no 106 in Park.
Absolutely.
None of those formats would ever exist without the revolution of American Bandstand and Dick Clark.
And let me just say, and now that you say it, you know, you make another point. And Barry talked about this a little while ago. But Dick Clark, you know, was very young when he started. He also had this youthful appearance for a long, long time and looked way younger than he was. But he was able to always keep up with what was going on now. And he didn't, like, try to hold on the way so many people do to what
they referred to him as America's oldest teenager, right?
Well, they did. But he was so smart. And you know, he did go out to the clubs in the Sunset Strip. He looked at, you know, the new bands. He looked at the new acts. He discovered so many of these people. And he literally, they would comb the Sunset Strip, find these bands, put them on, and anything from hard rock to, you know, soul to Motown to, you know, to everything.
So that was pretty much. So I just got that little shot. I always wanted to be on TMZ. I got to be on. I'm good. That's pretty much it. Hey, Mike also writes in that Michael Clark Duncan was in The Whole Nine Yards with Bruce Willis. And that was why I knew that movie. I couldn't figure out which movie it was. But that's right. He had a scene in The Whole Nine Yards. And I'm almost certain, JC, if you could I don't know if you could check that briefly. But I think that was the first movie that he was in. And that movie had Amanda Peet. Why am I forgetting this guy from Friends? The one who played Chandler. Matthew Perry. Yeah, Matthew Perry, Amanda Peet, Bruce Willis, Michael Clark Duncan, and there was one other girl, Molly Sims, I think, was in that movie as well. I'm almost certain I got that right. And I've never seen the movie. And I don't know how, I don't know how I know that. Never saw the movie, but I know who's in it. So I just wanted to make sure I said that because I wanted to do something that was at least nice or considerable that I can keep for myself, you know, about about Dick Clark. By the way, someone is already trying to steal my idea about Dick Clark being a hologram. Dennis Leary is trying to take my shine. I'm the one who said it first before anybody else goes out there and starts talking about it. You know, he made some reference. And I don't know what it was, but you can see that it's also on TMZ. He made some reference about Dick Clark being in a hologram. I think it was a hologram of Dick Clark introducing Tupac Shakur on tour. Something like that. Something to that effect. And that's bogus, you know. I don't want anybody out there trying to take my idea. I said it first before anybody on the day he died. I jumped on it. So anybody trying to jump on that, I'm just letting you know it is my idea. It belongs to me. Let me just say this also before we go. There are people out there who get worried and upset if you chastise somebody at a fast food restaurant or any restaurant for that matter. They always tell you, don't be rude. He'll spit in your food. I always get that from somebody. There's always some punk with me at one of these restaurants when the knucklehead behind the counter gets it wrong and you get annoyed. You know, you don't want mayonnaise, they put mayonnaise. You don't want ketchup, you don't want ketchup, they put ketchup. I want pickles. You forget the pickles, you know. It's my food experience. I want it my way. Don't put have it your way and then not have it my way when it's brought up to me. So I saw this story, and I love it because this is proof that when people hear this story, they're not going to spit in your food. Now, I'm not saying be abusive. Don't be abusive. I'm not abusive. Just to give you a background, we're in a drive-thru one day. This is many, many moons ago. It has to be 20 years ago. We're driving into a drive-thru, and the guy goes, hi, can I take your order? And we got a quarter pounder, large strawberry shake, whatever. And then the person says to me, would you like an apple pie with that? And I just retort, did I ask for an apple pie? And the person nudges me and goes, don't do that. You're spitting our food now. No, they're not. They don't. And they're not going to. Police in South Carolina say that a McDonald's worker spat in two customers. They wrote spit. The word is spat. Spat in two customers' cups of iced tea after they returned them because they weren't sweet enough. A video shows the employee, 19-year-old Marvin Washington Jr., Negro no doubt, leaning over to open the cups before giving them back. The fast food chain's patrons claimed they discovered phlegm in the drinks when they removed their tops. He was arrested and charged with malicious tampering with food. That's right. Malicious tampering of food. Now, I don't know how much time you can get for that, but don't be afraid to get in these people's rear ends when they screw up your food. And you shouldn't tolerate. These people think that they've got control of you. They're in the service industry. They got into it because they knew that you were demanding service. And some of these hacks can't do their job because they don't want to be there. You do your job with pride. Spit in my food, I dare you. Just put the company in jeopardy. That's all you have to do. They hired you. You spit in my food. You put a booger in it. Put a little cockroach in it. No problem. I'll be glad to take a bite out of it. And I'm not a litigious guy. I don't just scream lawsuits. But so help me. One of you young whippersnappers never worked really hard a day in your life. Don't know the meaning of hard work. I got your number. I've got your number. Speaking of hard work and getting money for nothing, this story scares the hell out of me. And Mary, you're going to love this story.
Hey, we got somebody on the phone here.
Say again?
We have somebody on the phone.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
I don't see him on the screen. What's his name?
I'll bring him in. He wants to talk to you, I believe. Hold on.
Sure. Reese on the radio. How can I help you?
Hey, Reese, it's Derek.
Hey, what's up? Derek the Bounty Hunter. What's going on, Derek?
Okay, I just wanted to let your listeners know I was the one that told them, hey, man, don't be rude to the people who are taking your food. You know, they'll take your food.
What is that?
Okay.
Derek
was the one. You remember that story, Derek?
Yes, I do.
You're such a punk. So we're driving through the drive-thru, as I say.
Oh,
and Derek said, the guy says, no, do you want apple pie with that? I said, did I ask for an apple pie? He said, your middle city is going to spit in my food. I'm like, knock it off. They're not going to spit in your food, Derek.
Man, come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Years ago, I worked at Red Lobster. And, you know, I was taking the order over the phone, and the woman gave me a bunch of attitude, you know, for absolutely nothing. Boy, you better believe it. Spit all over that, biscuits they give you.
Oh,
man. Dude, I put that special sauce on it, homie. You know what I'm saying? You better believe.
I can't believe you. Derek, that's pathetic. Okay. Derek, that's just awful. I cannot believe you just admitted to that.
Man, come on now, man. You know, I believe in revenge in my heart, man. Come on now.
Yeah. Wait, what was that worker during sex? What?
Yeah, that's why I want to get into the story. I want to end the show with this last story. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate it. Let me get to this final story. You can stay on the line. A woman who was injured having sex in her hotel room during a work trip apparently is entitled to workers' comp. In a federal court, and this happened in Australia, in a federal court, Justice John Nicholas ruled that the woman was injured during her course of employment. The woman's barrister argued that the sex was an ordinary incident of life in a hotel room, much like showering or sleeping. The judge ruled that if the applicant had been injured while playing a game of cards while in our hotel room, she would be entitled to compensation. And the fact that the woman was engaged in sexual activity rather than some other lawful recreation activity while in her hotel room does not lead to any different results. The woman, who cannot be identified apparently, challenged the rejection of her workers' compensation claim for facial and physical injuries suffered when a glass...
Facial and psychological.
Oh, facial and psychological injuries suffered when a glass-like fitting came away from the wall above the bed when she was having sex back in November of 2007. The woman, in her late 30s, was required to travel to a country town by her employer. Apparently, when she got there, she arranged to meet a male friend who lived in town. They went to a restaurant, had dinner, and about 10 or 11 p.m. went back to the woman's motel, and they had sex. The male friend said in a statement at the time that they were going hard, quote unquote, and did not know if they bumped the light or it just fell off. I think she was on her back when it happened, but I was not paying attention because we were rolling around.
Wow.
I
knocked the sconces off the wall.
And she's able to get workers' comp.
Wow.
And she probably screwed the hotel. hotel.
Well, yeah, she couldn't sue the hotel. All right, that's our show. It's the Friday night dance party tomorrow. Make sure that you tune in. Derek, thanks, of course, for calling in. Thank you, Mike from Florida, for calling in as well. And, of course, Hassan Shabazz from the Occupy DC. Hassan Shabazz, I hope you check yourself before you riggedy wreck yourself, man. We love you for Mary Mary, Why You Bugging, JC, the producer. I'm Reese on the radio. We'll see you tomorrow.